Our next guest says there is a gap in what we see in the U.S. media about the Muslim world, and she's trying to help fill that gap in with a new web project based in Wisconsin.
Saida Jamsidi joins us in the studio. She's a freelance journalist and entrepreneur, and her new project is the Fashionable Muslim Women website. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So let's start with a name, the Fashionable Women or Muslim Women website. Could you just tell us what that's all about?
Okay. To make a very, very long story short, So I was so fascinated by beautiful women I saw during the Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr is the last day of the holy month of Ramadan when people gather to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And in 2012, I was at the room with, I was just so amazed. They were so many colors, so many beautiful ladies. And what really struck me was there was no reporter. No one was actually reporting about the event. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I'm going to do something about this. And for this, for actually 2013, I decided to take picture of these beautiful women. Mm-hmm. So I was at the Marriott Hotel with my crew. We were about eight people. We were inviting women. We didn't exclude men. Uh-huh. They sometimes came over at the stage. We had a stage, photography, everything. And we took pictures. So we called it Fashionable Muslim Women. And why women? Because there is this perception in the media that Muslim women are oppressed. They don't take care of their beauty, their appearance. And my point was to say that this is not the whole story.
And this whole thing was inspired by the concept of peace journalism, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Could you explain what that is?
Okay. So peace journalism is has created by and explained by University of Sydney professor Jake Lynch. Jake Lynch says that we do need more space and more time to explain the process of a conflict and then also to show result and resolutions. So peace journalism is talking about not only two sides, but multiple sides, and to give, and if we want to really explain peace journalism, it's really coming, it's better understand to explain war journalism. Mm-hmm. In war journalism, it's about violence, and it's about reporting about what's going on, mostly really atrocious
Yeah, so basically if you're just seeing news accounts or media accounts of people in trouble or people in war, you develop a mistaken notion of people. So basically the peace journalism concept is something that is trying to show a broader spectrum of life in the Muslim world. Is that or in general?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And also to offer the kind of, in my opinion, as a journalist, you need to give clues and cues to your readers and audiences. And it's up to them to decide, to think. And for me, is important that, okay, so we cover some controversial issues from a different perspective.
For example?
Fashionable Muslim women. So in our website, we're focusing on Muslim community. Mm-hmm. And we have stories about, whether a Muslim with headscarf may get in trouble not finding a job in the U.S. markets.
Right.
Or a Jewish writer and a Muslim activist get together to write a book about their stories or things like that. So basically to talk about Islam and Muslims from not basically what Fox News or other networks talking about.
Because you think that there are stereotypes that are put forward by the media?
Yes. Okay. So when I was at the school, J School, journalism school, I was struck by a book written by Edward Said. Mm-hmm. The book called Covering Islam. And in that book, he argues that in the media, we have a very heavy bias against a Muslim community. And then you need to understand, I am coming from Iran. Iran, I was actually raised in a war-torn, revolution-torn, extremely intense society. So to me, I mean, I think we take it for granted in the U.S. that we are living in a peaceful and, I mean, this the war, of course, we do have some of the worrisome about terrorism and some of those attacks, but overall is a peaceful country.
Right.
But it was not my experience. My experience was, you know, to gain peace. And I think right now we are, I mean, especially today, we are in a very interesting moment because we are celebrating the life of a man who said, okay, if you want to put forward a change in a society, you must do it nonviolently.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Mandela. So in my opinion, one of the ways to talk about conflict is to show a different point of view.
So how do you do that with fashion?
Okay, so here's the issue. The almost the only question I get asked I came to the States in 1999. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then it was not really the issue of nuclear program about Iran, more of the coverage. So the first and only question I was asked was, okay, do all women are oppressed? Does your dad has four wives? And does women really cover from head to toe? Are all women are oppressed? And to me it was, oh my God. My English, of course, it wasn't good, and I couldn't explain what was going on. But of course,
But that was sort of the first thing you had to respond to.
Yes. And to me it was, oh my God, so I'm coming from a country that the women movement was extremely powerful. I was actually a member of that group where we could change laws in a society. I was a group, I was belonging to a group, a group of journalists that we wrote about issues, and we forced the government to change divorce law or child custody law or so many of the, and I was never get asked any of those questions.
Right,
always
right.
About, you know, cover and hijab and why women do this, and I had to explain, you know, this is the law.
Because there are some people who act as if that is oppressive when it really, really isn't, right?
It is and it is not.
Yeah.
So the whole argument is if you get to choose.
Right.
So if it is mandatory, it is oppressive.
Yes.
If it is not mandatory and you get to choose, like many Muslims, Muslim women in this country,
right,
so,
right.
You know, it's liberal. But here's the thing. Although women had to, it's the law in Iran,
mm-hmm.
They have to cover, but they don't shut up. They just, the women movement is really, really strong, and I'm very sad oftentimes that because of the because there is no communication between Iran and the U.S. and because of the kind of stories that the U.S. public would like to know and read about Iran, so we do not have that kind of communication that may have a different perspective.
So what kind of response are you getting to this?
Amazing. It is amazing. So basically, the site was launched on October 8th. And it was about a month ago that we started the Facebook page. So right now we have more than 12,000 people.
Wow.
Yes. And so, and because we are hitting a niche market, people are interested to know about what's going on.
What is your niche market? The
niche fashion? Market, fashion and Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And so according to my amazing web designer who actually works here at the Wisconsin Public Radio, Laura Zimmerman. So people who are coming to the site. Okay, so if you have a site, people usually spend, according to research, spend about 30 seconds.
Right, and then they go away.
Yeah, then go away. In my site, they spend between 6 to 7 minutes.
Wow.
And we have a good response on Facebook page. And yeah, I think we are communicating.
Now, the people you're communicating with, though, are they people who are already with you in some ways, or are you reaching people who may be surprised?
I can tell from the, I don't know about the website, but I can tell you from the Facebook page, we have our audiences from all around the world. So Pakistan, from Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, London, Belgium, everywhere. So people are interested to know about fashion, beauty, woman, things like that.
So you talked about doing some things in the Jewish world as well. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, this is also, so now I have only 1 minute. Okay, Jewish.
But we have more minutes after this.
Sure,
after the
absolutely. So I think we can go, yes. So just briefly, talking about peace, where I'm coming from.
Right.
You cannot exclude Jewish culture. So if you got it, talk about stories and cover stories from in Muslim community, and if your aim is peace, you have to include Jewish culture.
Well, we're talking to Saida Jamsidi about the new Wisconsin-based website Fashionable Muslim Women, and we're hearing about her effort to expand the way media talks about the Islamic world beyond politics, war, and terrorism.
And if you'd like to join in the discussion, you can do that. Here's our phone number. It is 800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.
It's Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold, filling in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here for Rob Ferrip. We're talking about media coverage of the Islamic world this half hour. A new Wisconsin-based website has the goal of expanding coverage beyond war, politics, and terrorism.
Saida Jamsidi is with us. She's the runner of the website called Fashionable Muslim Women. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234 with your thoughts. What do you think about the way the U.S. media covers issues related to Islam and Muslims? And do you think that there need to be more stories told, not just stories about war and politics and terrorism? You can call 800-642-1234 to join the conversation, or you can email at talk@wpr.org. And why don't we go to the phone right now? There's Pontia from Madison on the line. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, thanks for calling.
Thank you. It's Pontia from UW-Madison. It's I think it's a very interesting program. She's running. I have just one consideration. So I know that I assume that it's not easy for Muslim women to be in fashion. I want to know, what is she thinking about the view of Muslim men regarding Muslim women in fashion? So is it like a woman activity in a Muslim world, or is it like easy to just do it?
Okay, thank you, Panta. Okay, so first of all, I am not an Islamic scholar, but I can tell you this. I believe every woman wants to be beautiful. And yes, you are right. So in Iran and in many of the Muslim countries, they emphasize on, women don't attract too much attention to themselves, right? So not overdoing it. But pay attention to cleanness, how they dress, how they interact, and things like that. And also, at the same time, there is a teaching for men not to be, not to be lost. I mean, they have to control their energy. They have to be pious in terms of how they look at women, things like that. So the main point is not to attract too much attention, but at the same time to take care of yourself.
So how does this translate into fashion? I mean, you have some, there's one story on the site talking about necessity being the mother of creativity in terms of fashion in Iran. And the photograph you have along, it looks very fashionable. It's a very nice outfit. I don't know a lot about fashion, but I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the issue. I mean, If you are put in put in a situation where you have to put scarf, mm-hmm. and you have to cover your body, all the curves, everything,
right.
and then you at the same time want to be beautiful, want to be attractive, so you become creative.
right. And so, what are some ways that women become creative in that?
Color is one of them.
Yes.
So they use beautiful colors, and right now, I mean, it's a huge market. Turkey is actually producing some of those fashionable robes that women has to put on. So color is one of them. The way you wrap scarf around your head is one of them. I tell you this, it's a very interesting story. So I had a reporter,
right.
from Reuters. I was working at the Zan newspaper at the time. And he came to the newsroom, and he was just so perplexed. I asked, his name was David, what's wrong, David? And he said, I'm so shocked. I mean, I've kept hearing that people say women, I mean, they oppress, they cover themselves too much, things like that. But many of the women I see on Tehran street are just more sexier if they would have put on a bikini. and to me, it was okay. So
that's not very professional of that journalist.
Yes, yeah. I know. I mean, it was just very. But but to me, really. So you
well,
become creative.
I think the colorfulness is mm-hmm. something that I think surprises us, because one of the things that could happen to people who are not familiar with fashion in the Muslim world is that I think there's a belief that you have to wear black or something like that, and the idea of wearing, you know, bright colors doesn't seem appropriate, but that is fine to wear colors.
It's a good question. Yes. We have more than 1.6 billion Muslims.
Right.
In the world. And then, believe it or not, the most populous Muslim country in the world is Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And Indonesia follows a different kind of cultures, and then their culture allows them to use color and to be more creative, rather compared to more of the Middle Eastern countries. For instance, I know in Iran it's like an emphasis on wearing black.
Right.
But right now the Islamic government. So the reason I'm talking about Iran is because hijab and covered is mandatory,
right?
Like in Saudi Arabia, but in many of the other countries, like Egypt, Turkey, and many of the other countries, it's not mandatory. It's just a part of a culture.
Right.
But it has been emphasized, but the government has loosened up, and the rules has been loosened up, so they can use other colors.
So are we illustrating right now the value of talking about fashion as a way to advance conversations?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
So what next? Are you going to do something about food? Or, I mean, are there other areas of topics of discussion?
Yes. I think we just left the conversation from the other segment about including Jewish culture.
Right.
So I think it's really important. I'm not Jewish. I don't know about the Jewish culture. I love to know. And I want to, so here's what I'm trying to do. I'm going to expand this site to cover also not only the Muslim culture, but also the Jewish culture. And we have a specific focus. So we do want to be non-political. Mm-hmm. And we want to cover fashion and art and culinary and women, so, and women issues. So, and for that, I'm just working in the capital with a few politicians. I'm just coming from a meeting with Senator Fred Risser, and we are trying to actually bring a legislation to the state of Wisconsin.
And the legislation will do what?
Okay. So the legislation called Low Profit Liability Company, mm-hmm. or short form L3C. And it's a new business model. It has been signed into law in about 7 states right now, Vermont, North Dakota, other states. And this allows both the capital money, private money, and also federal or grant money come together to support the business. But it's not nonprofit.
It's sort of like hyper.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Hyper. So something between, and basically the reason is IRS has become, according to research, has become a bit more reluctant to just grant nonprofit.
Many of them out there.
So many
out.
Yes.
Right. So this is sort of a way for you to be sort of mm-hmm. middle ground there.
Middle ground.
So
yes.
So if you're wildly successful with what you hope to achieve, you have millions of people using what impact do you hope to have on people?
I am from Iran, and my home country is in war against Israel and the United States. So my hope, here's my biggest ambitious dream, to have a current a prime minister of Israel and also a president of Iran to sit on the same table. How to do this? I think the same thing Nelson Mandela did is to create a space to talk about issues, to create a discourse. And how to do that? Talk about fashion and art.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it.
Sure, thank you.
Saida Jamsidi is a journalist with the Fashionable Muslim Women website.